Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's Thursday, and we're here to do it all over again. An entire half an hour of nonsense. You're listening to it. We're producing it. It's probably going to involve poo at some point. It's just how we do it, to be quite frank. We're born to do it, Luke Emo. We're born to do it. How you feel? Look, Craig David. Craig bloody David. I'd like to kick us off with news hot off the press, Luke. Jeffrey Toobin. If you're familiar with Jeffrey Toobin?
I'm not, but I'm also a little bit concerned about the intro in which you sort of implied that you might poo your pants.
No, I mean, that just take that as read, that's a constant threat.
That's already happened.
Just exactly.
Anyway,
yeah. You never know when it's going to come.
I don't know who that is.
Jeffrey Toobin, he is a CNN correspondent. He was suspended. You must have remembered the story. Before the election, you know they have those kind of like sort of mock election, mock debates on CNN, and you know how it's all going to be gamed out and stuff, and how it's all going to set out. He's a famous legal analyst, and he was suspended after just masturbating on the Zoom, thinking that he couldn't be seen while they were doing this group call. Do you remember? He's back on telly. He's back. CNN
have reinstated
him. Can't keep a good man down. The ultimate multitasker. Just turn your camera off, mate, and then nobody can see.
Don't wank in a meeting.
Don't wank in a meeting.
It should be at least semi-sacred.
Can't see my bottom half right now.
I've already seen your bottom half and what it's got to offer anyway. But I'm all for people wanting in their comfort, their own home, to indulge in their own sexual proclivities. You know, consenting adults and all that.
Yeah.
But you're bringing other people into it. It's work time. You know, I know working from home since the pandemic has had its challenges because the blurring of work and home life can be difficult. That's not an excuse to have a quick one off the wrist. It's not.
It is a bit of an excuse though, isn't it? If you want me to work from my, spare bedroom, I'm going to do spare bedroom stuff while I'm working.
That's indoor language. You
know? That's indoor language.
Or sometimes people would say to me, that's talk for the car.
You know, talk for the car.
That's not talk for the function. That's talk for the car. That's indoor language.
That's lovely. That's a lovely. I'm stealing
I love
that. That's talk
that
for the car.
I mean, I don't know what his defence was, but you seem to be suggesting that your defence is that
he had the horn.
Is that your Pavlovian reaction to being in the spare room overpowers any work you should have to do?
He was fired by the New Yorker in October for just exposing his penis and masturbating on camera, thinking he couldn't be seen during a virtual work meeting. He apologised, obviously, but I just the confidence of the man who thinks he can administer a mock political debate while debating himself, so to speak. It's amazing, really, to have that level of confidence and that kind of like, I've seen this all before. I can administer this kind of mock presidential debate while getting down to Flavortown in your spare bedroom.
Well, imagine how bad he would have felt though, because do you remember when we were on a work call once and I said by accident you get a free lickable treat on the call?
Yes,
I was basically unpacking a cat fountain and at home. Because I think one of you were just talking, and you didn't need me to contribute, so I was just waiting.
Unpacking a cat fountain. Just when Luke goes quiet on these calls on these shows, just know that Luke is invariably unpacking a cat fountain. He's got a weird addiction where he just constantly buys cat fountains, eBay, Amazon, all of them.
When I die, don't think of me as being dead. Just think of me as unpacking a cat fountain. In
he's gone to the farm to unpack the biggest cat fountain.
Yeah. I don't actually even let the cats use them. I just it's how I like to drink my water. I
do
get
like
on
my,
the floors and I like.
Do you like my jacket? I've never worn this. I don't think in front of you.
Yeah, it's good.
It's like a space scene.
Though,
no, it's too warm. It is light. I could wear it, but it's just a bit. It's just a bit warm.
You missed the boat for wearing it. How many years ago did you buy it?
I bought two. There's a pink one and a black spacey one with cats all over it. And I bought it from Japan about two or three years ago. I'm never going to wear it seriously, but not bad for a little bit of fancy dress or something.
But is that not really? It's a really good border device, isn't it? Because in your 30s, fine. Now you're 40, can you wear it?
No, it's true. But as you guys pointed out in the pub last week, that I am starting to resemble, is it Sir Philip Green, the Topshop guy?
Yeah, it's very pleasing. It's very because so many lookalikes come along with Donaldson. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the only person I've ever known to have as many lookalikes as you is the Northern Irish comedian who I know a little bit, Shane Todd, it's mad, his face. Like, I've seen lookalikes been given to him and he's shown me them on his phone where it will literally be an old woman working down the supermarket and Johan Cruyff, right? And he looks like both of them. It's impossible to work out in your mind.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
Him aside, you are the person who has the most lookalikes ever. Your face is like a blank canvas. And I'm as excited about the Philip Green shout as I was about the Bulgarian assistant manager with the same mouth as you. That's the most excited I've been when it comes to your lookalikes, because they come along 10 a penny these days.
But I mean, the Philip Green thing is mainly because he's got like kind of wispy, he's got no hair on top at all, but he's still rocking what can only be described as a kind of like
a
ponytail sort of thing. It's a skullet, yeah. I mean, the problem is he had quite thick hair, and so the wispy bits at the back of his head are quite curly, and mine aren't. So I don't get
this
one. But
yours do flick up.
They do flick up because you put my hair in a ponytail. It's very strange.
So the kind of holy grail for the older man's haircut isn't in fact the skullet. I mean, it's great to see a skullet. It's great to see a mullet. You know, an unironic mullet is a great thing to see. It's great to see a skullet, a far lesser spotted version of the mullet, when the hair is receding. The holy grail of old man's haircuts is actually the drullet, which is a dreadlock skullet.
Oh, that is enjoyable. And I like men who are in their 30s. They've smoked a bit of weed in their time. Let's make that clear. They're addicted to the stuff, and
they have the
dreadlocks.
They
like the Pope. Their favourite Pope will be one that smoked. The Sensimilia. He would be... his dreadlocks were so thick and so rich at some point that it's pulled all of the hair out. You know, the actual entry point for the dreads is so thin by the time it gets to the head. Yeah. It's just hanging on by a literal thread, and they could pop off at any moment, and they'd just be a bald guy with weird, lumpy hair.
Have you ever seen a drullet, do you think, in action?
I've seen a few. There's this song that I'm obsessed with. It's called Puff Puff Yeah on YouTube. And it's two weed enthusiasts singing a kind of just fucking horrendous song about smoking weed. They're passing the weed. Puff Puff Yeah. Puff Puff Pass, I think it might be called, actually. And the guy who sort of breaks in with some kind of like ragga rapping over the top, he's got a drollet. Very enjoyable.
Great to see. So you don't see him very often. That's why they're so special.
The man from also Counting Crows as well. Dreadlocks are reportedly not from his own supply, let's say.
What's his name, that geezer?
I can't remember.
What's his name? Is it Adam Duritz?
Adam Duritz.
I've seen a picture of him on Wikipedia. He's got a very, very thick set of hair. So I was going to say to you, with that Puff Puff Pass thing, isn't it quite comforting in a way to know that the way you've just described that song and the way you've just called the name of it and everything, that could have been a song in 1995.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, it would be really naughty. No, nothing's moved on. And if you listen to the song, and I wish we could play it on here. I mean, to be honest, they won't have released it. You won't be able to buy it anywhere, so you possibly could get away with playing it. But it is astonishingly bad. It like there is, I think, a real revolution when it comes to weed and how it's sort of presented. It used to be the sort of people who would buy High Times magazine and stuff, and they'd just be obsessed with like you know, the centerfold in High Times, where it'd just be like some fucking weed, and that sort of thing is very, very, very strange. But nowadays, like, obviously, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Vaping enthusiasts, it's so weird to be into something so... it's just not in. It's so just not interesting. It's nondescript.
It's like being interested in like building societies. It's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I'm really into Bradford and Bingley for some reason, yeah. Or the Yorkshire Bank. Yeah, it's like that. And but nowadays, I think now it's starting to become legalized all over the place. We've got in Washington State people who are going for their vaccines gets a free fucking cigarette for some bloody reason. I'm loving that. And so it's less about the crazy people, and it's more about sort of going, this fits in my life. I like to smoke weed. I like to drink a beer. Like it's not so much, people aren't so obsessive about it. I think it's more lifestyle-y and more cool, I think.
So you think it's cool? So you think cool to put your cat jacket on and roll up a fat biffa? as you would say, Pete, I mean, as you said to me before, sorry, mate, I can't make that. I'm off to Doobsville, USA.
I've not smoked weed for ages because I can't, because my lungs go, Peter, smoke out. Can't live in here, and then throws out in it, and it doesn't work on me.
I told you that for your asthma, you should get into swimming.
Well, you just want to see me in my speedos.
Well, I've seen you in some swim shorts before. I can remember when we were in it. We went to a villa together in Menorca, didn't we? There's a load of us.
Oh yeah, that was fun. A little bit too cold.
No, it was lovely. And you, I'm pretty sure you jumped in the swimming pool with all your clothes on as part of a thing, and you were fine about it.
I was fine about it, yeah. The villa owners weren't quite so fine about it.
Well, they weren't present, crucially.
They weren't present.
A huge part of why we were allowed to stay there. so anyway, Pete, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about today was that first of all, actually, because it's our four-year anniversary at the moment, listeners have been crying out for a throwback It's Been from you.
All right, okay. Wow, we want an It's Been.
You want to do a little build up?
Yeah, strap yourselves in. That's me drumming. I'm not Jeffrey Toobin in it. Should have used the desk.
Oh, my God.
It's Been.
That was all right, actually.
Yeah,
after
solid.
All this time, that was actually all right.
Yeah, I feel like Zlatan coming back to the Swedish setup. Then getting injured.
That's very good. Great to have that flashback. Appreciate that.
Lovely.
Depressingly enough, producer Nat, who's a lot younger than us, didn't know what Mankata was because she didn't know what Nkata was.
Nkata was.
And she made me explain it to her, and I felt terrible. I just felt like, where's my life gone? My life gone? I'm never going to be on Nkata.
Penny for your thoughts, Moa.
Yeah, I know. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, because we mentioned briefly Japan, have you seen the story about it? So I'll read you the headline again, because that's probably the best way of getting this story across. Because that's what a headline is for.
Good.
Japanese man arrested after dating 35 women at the same time in a bid to get as many birthday presents as possible. He was dating lots of different women, apparently. He gave them all a different birth date so that he would get different birthday presents. Now, he got arrested for this. And women who, of course, feel defrauded and feel cheated, and I understand that they have, of course, our sympathy. But I want to ask a question that is a difficult question to ask, but nonetheless, I think an important one. Can that be a crime?
I guess it is straight fraud, but surely if you're in a relationship with all of these people, you're in a situation where you have to buy birthday presents for all of them too, surely.
Yeah. So it evens itself out, because apparently he received £668 worth of gifts.
Okay.
But you're right, surely. Yeah. It's going to go both ways, right?
And also 35 women like that, and I'm fairly certain he only made like something like 800 quid out of the whole thing.
I just said 660.
Oh, sorry, 606 quid. Yeah, that's not a lot of cash, really, is it?
There are quicker ways to make that money.
Takashi Miyagawa, a part-time worker. I'm not surprised he's part-time. He's he's in a situation where he's having to sort of... Yeah, exactly. Very, very weird. But yeah, I don't think he made enough money out of it. He doesn't look particularly handsome. He must have something about him you know, he's... How old is he? I think is he 35 as well? He's bagging on a bit. Look, if you can get away with it, I don't think it's the worst thing. He can't get away with it, exactly. Literally. But yeah. But I imagine that... I think somebody... Sorry News 24 is a great little site that basically just... The weird and wonderful, wacky world of Japan, and just sort of puts it out. But the story elicited mixed responses online. One reader commenting that he's an awful person, but I do envy his time management skills.
Well,
I do
caught,
too.
So he can't have been that good at it. By the way, one thing I forgot to mention a second ago about this whole... Stoner thing that you're mentioning is that, do you remember one of the first things, I think it was certainly one of the first things I saw that, do people still say go viral? Do people still say that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, so one of the first things I saw go viral was this kind of, it was a screenshot of an MSN Messenger chat between a girlfriend who was pissed off and a boyfriend, right? And the girlfriend is going on this big long monologue about why she's fed up with her boyfriend. And she's telling it to the boyfriend himself because all he ever does is smoke weed, right? And she goes in this big long monologue. It must be paragraphs and paragraphs. So he did this and he did that. And to cap it all off, the straw that broke the camel's back, because you never want to do anything and you never go anywhere because you don't motivate because all you do is smoke weed all day. Yesterday, you were supposed to come pick me up from so-and-so, but you didn't because you ended up smoking loads of weed and having a nap instead, right?
Right.
And then the only response from the bloke is epic nap.
the thing that, like, so recently,
I think it's too old to be fake as well.
Yeah, no, enjoyable. It kind of reminds me of you know that podcast that we put out. I sort of worked on it a little while ago. Bernie, Who Killed the Princess Soho. You know, heartily recommend it.
The critically acclaimed, really well received documentary series, Bernie, Who Killed the Prince of Soho, that you produced and did a brilliant job on, Pete.
iTunes top 10 bothering Bernie, Who Killed the Prince of Soho. Watch it
Apple
now.
Podcast.
Listen to it now. Okay. 60% of the listenership, granddad. I put on the Stack account, you know, this show's out, and someone replied. I was expecting, you know, it mentions a few famous people. It mentions, you know, it's a very, very sad, tragic story, but it's also celebratory in its stylistic cues as well, celebrating the life and times of a true one-off in Soho. And the first and only comment on the Stack post just said, "Murderinos."
Wow.
Just somebody just went, "Murderinos."
I've not even heard that word before.
No, I think he just said murder, but he just went, "little bit of murderinos," and it really made me laugh.
That can't be an autocorrect either.
No,
murderinos. Well, murderinos. Listen, murderinos, we're going to have a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to do some emails and also a few of your battery brands as well, as has become the custom. See you in a minute.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. Pete Donaldson with you. Luke Moore. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's real simple. Get on Twitter. Get on the old socials. Or if you want to write us something a little bit longer, but not too long, we've got to read this out. Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, some people who have been in touch with their battery brands of the week at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter or Instagram, they are Henry, who's got in touch with some 2L batteries, just number 2 and the letter L. Never seen those before. For me, they're a new player.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That's huge for me. They've kept it nice and simple. They've used 2 digits. I'm having it. I like it. I like the style. Beautiful.
Congratulations to 2L, but congratulations to you too, Henry. Well done for that. Simon's emailed in GP Supercells. Get out of town, Simon.
Get out of town.
2017. No
GP's
chance.
Like our launch product, to be quite
exactly.
frank.
GP Ultra, GP Supercells, completed them.
Yeah.
Mate. Liam Drake finishes us off with a bit of Mitsubishi Electric. Now, I don't
get out. No, yeah. No, they're not new players. Liam Drake, hang your head. Never email again. Rubbish.
1 out of 3 today. Henry with your 2Ls. Get yourselves in the special club, mate. Well done.
Lovely.
Emails then. Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, as Pete's already said. We had a great talk on Monday about someone who claims to have done nearly 500,000 steps in a day. That was nonsense. Here's hoping these aren't. What about this then from Andrew, who wants to talk to us about the burger restaurant Five Guys, because we talked about it last week. Do you remember, Pete, I said that I like Five Guys because they chuck a load of extra fries in the bag?
They just go, here's some extra fries on us, even though you probably pay for it in a really true sense. You're a fan.
On that note, Andrew's got some real talk. I think we can call it real talk for us. He says, your brief mention of Five Guys and their reputation for putting a little extra in the bag when it comes to fries reminded me of a YouTube video I recently watched somewhere down a YouTube hole. Both presenters on both sides of the pond found that in both cases, the fries containers delivered were overflowing with quite a few extra fries in the bag. But interestingly, a full UK medium portion container only accounts for 165 grams of weight for an advertised 414 gram. When they were added all the extra bag fries, they were still looking at 276 grams, a full 138 grams short. Essentially, you would need to be served a full 2.5 medium containers for them to deliver you their fries as advertised. This issue was repeated for the American presenter too. Across an order of small, medium and large, both presenters were served only about 2/3 of the advertised fries, despite full containers and a hefty number of bag fries. It would seem as though this habit of pouring quote-unquote extra fries into the bag is nothing more than a cynical ploy to trick you into thinking you are getting extra fries when it would appear you are being significantly shortchanged. Sorry about that. Much love, Andrew.
Well, look, we can't speak on Andrew's findings because obviously, you know, Five Guys, they got deep pockets and those pockets are filled with chips. So we'd hate to sort of get involved in that gnarly world of legal chip wrangling. But yeah, if nothing else, this email has just made me really want some fucking chips because it's just gone 12 o'clock.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. I like the psychological idea of it. You know, that I know that, for example, in cinemas, they will do the pricing so that, let me get this right, the large popcorn seems to be much better value than the medium. So, for example, the gap between the price points of small and medium will be quite large, but the gap between the medium and the large will be a lot smaller because the large then seems like better value to the customer, thus encouraging them to buy the large. The psychological aspect of all this stuff is fascinating. Let's make that absolutely clear.
Yeah, it's like the those kind of new kind of wider pint glasses you get for craft ale. They look quite stubby and they don't look quite as
yeah, it doesn't look like it can
good
fit
value,
a pint in there, does it?
But it only takes an increase of the circumference or the radius of the lip of the glass, and it can hold so much more than even those really tall sort of Stella glasses or the like the lager brands that do really really tall glasses. So it's a much of a muchness, and the mind can play some cruel tricks. I once bought a gold dress that was blue. Turns out,
What's your favourite kind of beer vessel of choice then? Do you like the old fashioned kind of handle dimpled ones?
The problem is they don't serve like nice frothy lagers. I like Japan do a really good kind of
brought those back.
Yeah, I think they'd be. But what would you serve in that though? It would have to be like a stout or a Doombar or a, you know, it'd have to be something a bit chewy with twigs in it.
You reckon?
Yeah, it would have to be something a bit hefty. Although I would quite like a really thick sort of glass with a handle on it, but like have a really like a nice fizzy lager but a massive head on it and stuff. I think heads are underrated. People get very upset because you're not getting enough alcohol in there, but look, it's all about a nice pint and what it looks like, a nice frozen glass. Oh, lovely.
You feel like you're in Europe as well. Come on.
Exactly.
Come
man
on.
Gets his little knife out and the little knife out and sort of knocks the head off. Beautiful.
Yeah. Actually, Pete, read the email out we've got from Simon in Norwich, because that's a belter. I think we should definitely end with that one.
All right, then. Let's... I've bookmarked
it.
Well, I didn't realise it was there, but like, Simon... Because we've got Simon... Mate. Simon emailed in the GP Supercells. It's Simon in Norwich. I found it by typing in Control-F. First London experience. Chaps, it's me with the cunty dog. Do we remember the cunty
I don't
dog?
I remember that.
Oh, the cunty dog. On May 31st, you asked for big city stories. Forgive the long email, but this night was bonkers. I moved to London in 2000 to seek my fortune, taking a flat in Neasden and tubing to Bond Street daily. Can you imagine the promise that moving to London at the turn of the millennium, there must be something special about doing it at that point and sort of going, I'm going to make this city my absolute biatch.
I've got a feeling this story isn't going to go that way.
One evening, my flatmate and I decided to frequent the local Neasden Boozer. Most of them were shady Irish bars with dried blood stains outside, but there was a Wetherspoons, and that was the lesser of many evils, or so we thought. Sat happily boozing on cheap beer until at 10 p.m. the bell rang for time and everyone started piling out. Knowing my drinking up time right, we sat a little longer when at 10:20 the bar started filling up a lot. The beer was flowing over the bar and no money was exchanging hands. Being tight, I chanced my arm at a few free pints as the barman poured. He said, "Best leave now, lads. It's not for your kind in here now."
Wow.
What? So
yeah, that's
the barman suddenly started pouring beer for nobody.
That's exciting if you're not there.
Yeah, exactly. 30 minutes passed, pub heaving, then the doors flew open. In walked four men in balaclavas carrying handguns and an industrial-sized baked bean tin. One by one, the men in the bar dropped wedges of cash into said tin. When it was shaking in my face with a thick Irish accent for the boys back home, I dropped £20 in purely out of fear. By 11 p.m, the bar was empty, and we made our way out shaking like shitting dogs, wondering what the fuck had happened. Turns out we'd been sat in the middle of an IRA fundraiser. Much love, Simon in Norwich. Yeah, so Simon, not only Simon in Norwich, Simon IRA fundraiser. IRA, real IRA.
Simon is now in Norwich.
Yeah,
he's not in London anymore.
He's fucked up.
World's shortest move to London.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that you sort of, it is the sort of thing that you you used to see in Holloway quite a lot. You'd see little buckets, but it wasn't...
And in Kilburn, which isn't far from Kilburn, by the way.
No, yeah, true. And obviously, I mean, there were no guns getting waved around or anything, but...
That we know
kind of exciting us. Not we know of. There could have been packing heat, you never know.
A good friend of mine, who shall remain nameless for obvious reasons when you hear the story, he's a big frequenter of his local pub, and it is in London. He's a big face in the local pub there, and he goes there all the time. And he said at one point the landlord opened up on Christmas Day for a few hours for the locals, and a load of dodgy people. I don't really know what their provenance was, but a load of kind of wrong'uns came in. They'd never seen them before, and basically took over the bar and essentially intimidated the landlord so he couldn't close. And then when all the locals had gone, they tied the landlord up out the back and just helped themselves to beers till they finished. And basically, the guy was just tied up until someone kind of tried to find out what happened to him until he got released. Awful, awful story. So, you know, you do find these people in London. You can find them, and I'm sure in all big cities as well.
Yeah, I mean, I almost sort of look at that and sort of go, I was tied up, you untied me. Gentlemen beer robbers of London. Proper naughty boys. Well, I didn't steal the money, I guess.
I didn't say that. I don't know if they did or not. I mean, presumably they would.
Okay.
If that's their kind of vibe, I don't imagine they'd be above getting their hands in the till as well.
Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah,
never open your pub on a Christmas day in London. That if you take no other message than that is what you're taking from this show. This has been the Luke and Pete Show. If you've got any horrific stories about landlords them getting tied up, let us know. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. You can get us on the socials, get us on the Twitter, get us on the Instagram. Producer Natalie will be looking after that. Luke, have you got a message to send the people home with?
Look after yourselves and each other. Stay out of the sun. Unless you're the kind of person who can handle that. But remember, if you're brown, technically you're already burned.
Oh, okay. Fair play. All right, then. We'll leave it there. See you next time.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.